Hello and welcome to Creators Cassette with me, Pushpak Pawar. And I'm happy to present to you the first ever episode of my new podcast. So firstly, why podcast? And the answer to this question is very simple. To connect with you more efficiently. In 2021, I started my personal blog on pushpakpawar.com. And I feel so happy that I started it. It immensely helped me in so many different aspects of my life. One of the benefits I got from this blog was the clarity of thoughts, be it while working, while talking to someone, or in any other form of communication. And then I felt that podcast will be the good next step in the process of expressing myself using my own voice. And here I am. So this podcast is all about getting to know the millennial creators and artists in different fields, knowing how they became a creator, their life journey, and finding out some fun facts. The idea is that eventually you get to learn something new from this person. And for my first episode, I have with me Chandrasekhar Prasad. Throughout his childhood, Chandra has been plump, overweight, and quite the foodie. He finally took control of his life and transformed from fat to fit. He made small, sustainable changes over time to ensure that he builds a healthy lifestyle to stay fit. He is now a fitness coach on Fitter, which helps people get fit. He has already coached close to 500 clients so far. One of his pursuits is also scuba diving. He has completed more than 175 log dives. He has been diving since 2006 and he is a certified rescue diver. He usually travels across the globe scouting for pristine islands to dive in. All this while managing a full-time job and being a doting father to two beautiful kids. He's pursuing his passion for fitness and diving while balancing everything.
So hi Chandra, and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, my pleasure. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, to start with the conversation, let me ask you, because I was really curious to know, I mean, it's a very direct question that way, that tell me about the time or that moment when you actually realized that now I have to focus on my body and it's really a high time.
Okay.
When was that and how did you feel that time?
Okay. So it was the month of September in 2016, and I just returned from my vacation in Bali. And I usually visit Chennai and my hometown, and I usually pick up some clothes of my father, and I take it. You know, he's got a pretty good collection of shirts and pants. So there's one time where I tried to flick one of his pants, and I wore that pant, and that pant didn't fit me. You know, and
wow,
that was like a moment of truth for me, saying that why my dad's pant is not fitting me. That's when I checked my waist, and my tummy was about 40 inches circumference.
Oh my God.
You know,
okay.
And that's when I said, okay, you know, enough is enough. I need to do something about it. So then I just started doing some, you know, workouts and random stuff what you read on internet.
Yeah.
And stuff. That's how it started off for me. That I would say was the beginning point or the moment of realization, I would say, that, you know, that my tummy is growing at a mind of its own and I need to do something about it. You know, so.
And what was your weight that time?
Weight was, I would say, roughly close to 90 kilos. I was not really watching my weight then, right? You had no clue of what your weight was. What really hit me was my tummy was 40 inches. That's what, you know, my belly, that's what really hit me, saying that, no, this is not where I want to be or where I want to head, you know. So that's when I said, fine, I will have to do something about it. And I just started, you know, doing some workouts, whatever I knew, in my home balcony or in my living room, you know, looking at some videos in YouTube and all that. So I just started doing very random stuff. So at least the only thing that stuck to me was, at least I was consistent. So it was, I would do something every day. And I would also try to read whatever about, you know, nutrition or fitness, whatever I could, you know. I started following some pages, following some influencers, you know, just to see what I could learn from them and what I can implement in my life.
Yeah.
That's how it started off.
Yeah.
Then in 2017 is when I got introduced to Fitter. Fitter was a Facebook group then. Now it's also an app. That's when I got introduced to Fitter. Okay. Through a mutual connection. And I was just added to the group in the Facebook. And I just came across the group and it was quite lively, vibrant. And it had a lot of, it made a lot of sense about nutrition, fitness, and a lot of things. That's what that kind of laid in my foundation in terms of how to go about fitness or what to do. Until then, I knew I was doing something, but I knew that I was not doing something right. I knew I was missing out on something, where I didn't have the exact knowledge on what is to be done exactly. And I knew I was doing something, but I also knew that I could do something better. And I'm definitely missing out on certain key inputs in terms of nutrition and all that. Because workouts are pretty much available across,
Thousands
go to YouTube or Google and say work. Exactly. But nutrition is one thing what I realized is where the maximum myths or the maximum misinformation is available, where people don't know, in the name of healthy, people will just give you anything to eat. Mm. Or in the name of, home-cooked food. What's wrong with home-cooked food? Something like that. So, a lot of information was not definitely correct. And good that this Fitter happened to me. And I did learn about the basics of nutrition and fitness. And I also was enrolled with a coach back then for about a couple of years, where he also helped me transform myself. His name is Ashish Sharma. Mm-hmm. And he helped me transform from... So I think starting point here for, as I told you, was close to about 90 kilos.
Okay.
We even went as low as about 65.
Wow.
But I was too skinny and I didn't have enough muscle in me. Then from there on, we got into another journey of putting on some muscle mass or adding some muscle. And that took me another year or so just to try to add on some bulk in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when you try to add some weight, you will also tend to add some fat in your body.
Right.
So post which, then we could, cut back on the fat and, get into a better shape. So I had my own journey because my goals or my, the goals kept changing as you reached one goal, right? So the goalpost kept changing.
But when you started, like when you said that day when you were trying to wear your dad's pants but they were not fitting you.
Mm.
Do you think that one day kind of changed your entire mindset, or it was like when you started doing the exercises and every day was your motivation or moment of truth happening and growing day by day? How was that? It was like a one day miracle, or it was like a few days of consistency which helped you go on that path?
Yeah. So not fitting in a dad's pants was a moment of truth, right? That's what helped me start.
Yeah.
But as and when I was doing, I knew that you can't just do with a few days and then, get into shape.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. I knew at least my body is not so reactive that, I just do workout for a few days and then I'm going to be in shape. That's not going to happen because I was close to 90 kilos and I was nowhere close to how and where I wanted to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So as and when I kept doing, I started seeing results.
Okay.
And when I saw results, that kept me determined to go further.
Hmm.
Right. So, see, motivation is something that's too shallow, I would say. Shallow in sense, it's not long term.
Hmm.
I could see a video, I could hear someone talk, I could see some inspiring video and say, oh, yeah, I'm just motivated.
Hmm.
But will that keep it going for, a few months or a few years? Definitely no.
Yeah.
What is going to keep it going is your discipline and your consistency.
Right, right.
So that somehow discipline I could inbuild over a period of time, over a period of a few months.
Yeah.
And that's what really helped me going. Right.
Right.
It was not really just, Yeah. And then of course, when I kept doing it for a few months, I lost some weight. I could no longer fit into some pants.
Mm.
I could fit into my older shirts or my older pants, which I could no longer fit into.
Mm.
That again helps motivate you keeps you going for some more time. Saying that, okay, now I'm able to fit into my shirt, which I didn't wear for like almost 3 years or 4 years,
Yeah.
And then you start buying better clothes. Your wardrobe gets better. It changes completely. So that also keeps you going.
Mm.
So it is... he said it requires a moment of truth for you to start to take the step, but it really requires a lot of determination to, you know, keep going.
Yeah, and I think fitness is one aspect where people struggle the most in terms of the consistency part, right? And that's how the gym business is also actually facing these issues, that in the first month, the members are actually very active and then they start seeing the decline of their visits in the gym. So, but as you said that you, when you started seeing the results, then it's kind of started the momentum for you. So in which month did you see the first result? I mean, just to understand how much time you actually need to stick around to, you know, see those first positive outcomes so that then you keep moving ahead.
To be very honest with you, I would say at least for a month, I did not see much.
Okay.
It took me close about 40-45 days to see actual results. Mm-hmm. Because you also need to know how your body is responding to a certain stimuli, right? It could be a workout, it could be a diet plan, anything. So not everyone's body is very responsive, right? And I think by the time I started, I was probably 33 years old, right? And I'm at a different age where how your body responds, also you should accept it, right? Probably if I started when I was 22, my body would have responded in a much better way.
Right.
So I was 33 then.
Yeah.
And the way my body was responding was pretty slow. I realized that, but I knew that I was seeing some results. It took me at least 1 month and a half to see some result.
Okay.
It could be just 1 inch loss in the waist, or, you know, at least, you know, wearing a pant which is one size lesser or something like that.
Yeah.
So it takes time. And definitely it's not something short term. As you said, people join the gym with initial lot of hope and, you know, with some motivation saying that, okay, I'll do something.
Hmm.
And then probably when they don't see enough results, and then they eventually quit.
Right.
The journey is, you know, kind of comes to an abrupt end.
Yeah.
So probably my input or suggestion will be that it's quite easy to give up, right?
Mm.
But what can keep you going is the reason why you started.
Mm.
That should be your non-negotiable reason why you started.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't like the way my health is being right now.
Yeah.
And I need to improve it. That is the point of realization. And that should keep you going, even if you don't see results initially. But there will never be a time where you will not see results at all. For me, it was a month or 40 days. For someone, it could be 30 days. Someone, it could be 20 days. Or someone could be in 50 days.
Yeah.
That might vary. But as long as someone is putting in the efforts, the results will come. There will never be a time where you will not see results.
But then when you achieved a fair amount of success in your own fitness, on your own body, right? What happened after that? Because then I think then you feel that, okay, now I'm fit enough to, you know, carry on confidently. I look much better now. I feel flexible. I feel agile. And when you reach that saturation point, then probably it's even difficult to continue, right? Because then psychologically you feel that, okay, probably I don't need to put up so much effort now because I'm fit. So, but what happened in your case? Was this the case or you saw it differently?
As I told you, I was kind of 33 when I started. Right? Now I'm 38 or 38 and a half. So, as I told you, my goal initially was to just lose weight. I just wanted to, you know, lose some weight, lose some flab in my tummy, you know. That's a typical thing. Anyone says, I want to lose weight, they say, I want to lose my tummy. My tummy is too big. I want to reduce that. Moment I did that, I knew what, then it took me, say, for example, a year to reach, say, from 90 to, say, 70 kilos, right?
Uh-huh.
After I reached 70 or, say, even further lesser, I realized what my body is capable of. I could lift some X amount of weight for a squat or a deadlift or a, you know, bench press, whatever. And I knew that my body can do better.
Yeah.
And if I push myself and to do better, and I know I can look even better than what I'm looking today. As I said, I became probably too skinny and I didn't have enough muscle or I was not, even though I became thin, I didn't like the way I looked because I was too thin. And probably since my childhood, I've been a plump kid or, you know, little chubby. So I've always looked a little chubbier than, you know, so I was too thin and I didn't like the way I looked. So I said, can we change the goal? So then I had a discussion with the coach saying that, can we change the goal? He said, yes, we can look to add muscle. That again will take some time. We'll have to see how it goes. So for me to, again, from 65, we went up to 85. That again took another year or so just to see how it looks. You know, so as I told you, the goalposts kept changing. So it is not that I got competency in there. Okay, now I've lost some weight. Okay, let me just, you know, sit quiet here.
Yeah.
It's like achieving success in your definition. Probably once you achieve that, you are not going to stop. And you will say, okay, you know, I want to do get better.
Yeah.
Or it could be something even like, you know, earning money, right? When you start off as a fresher,
yeah,
your package would be, say, 4 lakh rupees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You might say, okay, once I achieve 10 lakhs, I'll be happy. But when you achieve 10 lakhs, you would have gotten married. Then you'll say, I need 15 lakhs. Then when you achieve 15 lakhs, then you'll have kids.
Yeah.
And you'll say, now I need 20 lakhs.
Your target
it's very similar. So you will, your target will keep changing. So to think of it saying that, yeah, when you are earning 4 lakhs and say, okay, at 10 lakhs, probably I'll retire, is not the goal.
Right.
When you achieve 10 lakhs, you'll say, okay, now what, let's achieve 15 lakhs or let's achieve 20 lakhs. That goes on, right?
Correct.
Similarly for fitness, once you achieve a certain goalpost, you said, okay, fine. Can I do better from here? You know, how, or in, for some people, it could be a physique. For some people, it could be a number. For a number, like, you know, I can squat 100 kilos. Can I squat 120 kilos? Or can I deadlift 120 kilos? Can I deadlift 150 kilos? Right? So that can be the next goal. And how do I further tune my program in terms of nutrition and workout to reach that goal?
Yeah.
So it can vary, you know. So your goal will change and goal has to change. It's good to have an evolving goal so that you can also see what you're capable of. Right. So some people can eventually say, then I want to compete as a professional in bodybuilding also. I mean, that was never my aim. It's like saying that I'll drive a car today and I'll become a F1 driver eventually, right? You know that you don't want, you know that you will don't want to get there.
Right.
Or you will never get there. But you'll at least try to, you know, take steps towards it so that I'm happy at least whatever I'm achieved.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an interesting thought, because the moment you change your goal, you restart your journey again with the same spirit and motivation,
yes.
And then that's what keeps you going. You mentioned about your coach, and I think, or I feel like he has contributed a lot in your fitness journey as such, and in your initial journey of your fitness. So how do you see that? And do you really feel having a fitness coach really makes a difference, or a self-motivated guy or a girl can also do the same workouts and be as fit as somebody having a personal coach? What is your approach on that?
Okay, so let me give an example of, say, when you want to invest in stock market and mutual funds, would you like to do all the research yourself on which is the best stock, which is the best mutual fund to invest? Or would you like to talk to a relationship manager who will tell you that these are the 5 good stocks or that these are 5 best funds to invest in?
Yeah.
Same way enrolling with a coach. Do you want to do all the research about which is the best workouts to do, which is the best food to eat? Or I know my lifestyle and I will explain my lifestyle to my coach, and my coach will design a workout and a nutrition plan as per my lifestyle, as per my preference and liking, so that it is easier for me to stick to it because I do not have the knowledge.
Right.
If I had the knowledge, probably I would definitely be fit already. But since I don't have the knowledge and I don't know what to eat, I don't know what workout to do. That is why I'm not in good shape right now.
Right.
Hence, it's a smart move to enroll with a coach.
Yeah.
So that you are able to, you know, fasten your learning, you know, and they will anyway give you a ready knowledge in terms of what you need to know about nutrition and workouts and everything. And so that you can, you know, fast track your progress. You don't have to necessarily go through the trouble of learning everything from scratch.
Yeah.
And someone is able to give you a ready knowledge about nutrition and fitness.
Right.
So I would put it in that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting thought. But then your journey actually took a small turn, because being from a much fitter person, you actually got associated with fitter in terms of sharing your knowledge with others who actually need this.
Yeah.
So how did that feeling come? I mean, did you always want to share this knowledge with others, or that came like instinctively to you that, okay, I think now I've reached at a point where probably I have enough information which I can share with others. How did that happen?
So probably about 3 years into my fitness journey, or three, I think almost 4 years. Fitter also has a institute called INFS. That's called Institute of Nutrition and Fitness Sciences, which provides courses on nutrition and fitness where you can read about it and get a certified, you can get certified as a coach in terms of nutrition and fitness. And that course is an online course, and it's a self-paced course. You have exams and etc. post on that, and you also get to handle a clients or a few clients for a period of 1 month just to see how good you are yourself as a coach. So I said, I've been with a coach for almost a couple of years. I've learned a lot through the coach and through the self-help community group and a few other coaches who became eventual friends. You know, my gym buddies, a couple of my gym buddies like Vaibhav and Himanshu are also coaches now in Fitter. So they were also friends of mine. I pretty much had some, you know, idea about how to, you know, manage your diet, how to make a workout plan, etc. Then I thought, why don't I just learn or do the course that I help, as in I help myself in terms of knowing about, say, things like vitamins, minerals, macronutrients, you know, what is carbs, what is protein, what is fat, if I have to make a diet, how do I make a diet, how does the body work, what are the lifestyle diseases which people suffer from, you know, let it be hypertension, blood pressure, or diabetes, sugar, thyroid. There are multiple issues people face from. So what are those issues? How do you handle that issues, if at all, you know, these things? That's all part of the course, right?
Yeah.
And then designing a workout, how do you make a workout plan, et cetera, et cetera. So I did the course just to, you know, to improve my knowledge, to get better and to become more confident. And I finished the course in 2019, right? And I was just done with it. I did the course purely. It's a self-paced course. It can take anywhere between, say, 6 months or a little bit more also. So, you know, so it's an online course. So you do classes, you do, you listen to videos, you watch videos, you listen to classes, and you do every unit by unit. And then you the entire course you complete. So I'd finished it off, and I got my certification as well. And I was a expert level certified fitness and nutrition coach. But I did not take up coaching immediately, because I knew that I just did the course for my own understanding, to know, to help me become more confident as such, and not with the sole aim of becoming a coach. So I'd done the course, and that's about it. It was in somewhere in, I think, mid of 2019, I'd finished the course. In 2020, when COVID hit and the entire lockdown happened, that's when a lot of people were at home, even more sedentary and putting on weight with the initial wave one and a few days, and a lot of people working from home and all that. That's when many of them reached out to me saying that, okay, Chandar, you have, you know, you are initially fat, now you're fit, or I have gained weight in these last 6 months, or, you know, seven, 8 months, whatever. Can you help me?
You know?
So it was a few friends, you know, some colleagues, some known neighbors, acquaintances. They all reached out to me saying that, can you help me? No, because you have done it. So we have seen you, you know, fat and not in shape, and now you are in shape. Can you help me? So out of sheer interest, I just helped out a few friends and colleagues saying that, let's do it. It's not that intention of, you know, making money. I didn't even charge a few people. I just sheerly started helping them out, saying that, okay, this is how we can do it, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say I was having about some 10, 15 people. And of course, few of them didn't do great. But the ones who did had good results. And and that really, you know, excited me, because I was talking with someone and helping that person. And I was having a direct impact on that person's life in terms of them getting healthier.
Yeah. And how was that feeling?
That gave me a different high altogether, because we all are into our sedentary works, you know, where you're working in your laptop, you're doing your meetings and all. And there you see that some person is getting benefited or whoever, but there is no direct impact in terms of someone's health getting better. You know, someone coming back and say, I could I wore a shirt which my wife got me during my wedding. I could not wear it soon after, but now I'm able to wear it. You know, something like that. Or I could play with my kids and I was no longer tired. You know, something like that. It's something very simple for someone.
Yeah.
You know, it meant so much to that person.
Exactly.
Right. And that gave me a different high, and I felt really good, you know, hearing such feedback from people. Then I said, if I can do this for a few handful of people and feel so good, imagine if I did it for more people, you know, that's going to really give me, you know, a different sense of fulfillment in my life. So that's when I again got in touch with Fitter and said, no, probably, you know, I would like to be on board as a coach. And they have their assessment in terms of interviews. And also they check your condition, physical condition. They ask you for videos and photographs before they onboard you as a coach. And anyway, I had the certification because that also is a criteria. I had the certification, so that was not a problem. But the interview assessment and the physique check also is important. So post I cleared that, then immediately I was onboarded as a coach. And I started my journey as a coach in Fitter in December 2020. You know, so it's now been about 22 months or 23 months almost.
Yeah. So
I've coached close to about 500 people till now. And that's something, that's a very rewarding journey, I would say, in terms of, you know, how you have an impact on people's lives. And, you know, people are really happy that, you know, they have stopped their sugar medication or something like that, or their BP levels have come under control. So, or people who have lost their post-pregnancy weight, and now they're able to fit back into their, you know, pre-pregnancy clothes and all that. So all these things are money can't buy, you know, happiness, you know. You can't just, you know, because you cannot buy fitness. You'll have to, you know, work your way hard, you know. Nobody's...
That's true. Yeah.
I can't just inherit, you know, that, okay, my dad had six-pack abs, so I'll also get it. You know, that's important.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to work equally hard as my parent, you know, to get fit.
Right.
So I was quite happy that that happened. And I'm hopefully that I'll continue as a coach for a few more years. Let's see how that goes.
That's wonderful, because 500 is a big landmark, and that too with such a short time. And I'm thinking to wonder, how was your family's reaction to all this, especially your wife, because of course your kids are still very small, but your wife seeing you before your fitness, so before your age 33 and now moving towards being a fit person, but also kind of helping others getting much, much fitter and improving their health. So how was her reaction to all this?
Actually, she has been very supportive till now, I would say, honestly, because when I was toying with the idea of, you know, applying to Fitter to become a coach, she said, yeah, she definitely nudged me in the right direction, saying that, so you should try, you know, if this is going to make you feel happier, you should definitely try. And there has been, of course, a lot of juggling around with family, you know, handling two kids, two jobs. So it's a lot to balance. And definitely, you know, she's contributed equally in handling these extra tasks which come up, you know, so that, you know, I'm able to, you know, do my regular work and my job as a fitness coach. So definitely it's not been very easy, I would say. It is difficult, but everything is difficult.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
If you want to achieve something in life, it's definitely going to be difficult, not going to be easy. It is just about how are you willing to take that decision and take that extra efforts, and is it really worth it? And when you feel that it is worth it, you will definitely go all out to take those efforts and see that you're successful, and with the right support from family also, you can definitely make it happen.
Awesome. Yeah, because I think family support is equally important in your entire journey.
Yeah, because there are days where I have regular office calls going on till 7 p.m.
I think.
And I have my Fitter calls going on till about 10 p.m. because Fitter is an online platform. So you have clients from across the world. So I'll have clients, say someone in New Zealand, Auckland time, or somebody in California time. So I'm kind of, I can take a call as early as India time, say 6 a.m. or as late as 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m. So it varies, right? So, and there'll be a lot of time where I'll be just on calls. Yeah, as you said, it does take a lot of effort and a lot of help from family as well. So.
So, I mean, I definitely want to know more about how you're actually handling two different jobs. I mean, you obviously have your own main job, and this probably you started as a side hustle, but it's an important part of your life now as such. But then before that, I mean, nutrition, you mentioned it very specifically. And of course, it's a very important aspect of entire fitness journey. So you mentioned that you actually coach people from different countries around the world. So how do you take care of their diet? I mean, how do you kind of gain knowledge about different available sources in different countries in terms of their diet intake? Was that difficult for you at the start?
Coming to nutrition, as I told you, as part of the course, you learn what are the different macronutrients. They're mainly protein, carbs, and fat, right? What is protein, carbs, and fat? What are the calories that constitute to it? And, you know, what kind of food items are there which has these macronutrients present in it? And how do you make a balanced diet? When someone says, I'm in a balanced diet, it needs to have the correct portions of protein, carbs, and fat. All three are required for the body. And there are various food sources that give all these macronutrients. And it's our job to ensure that any client who wants to lose weight or gain weight gets the correct proportion of protein, carbs, and fat in the food. That's when the diet is balanced, right? So someone could be a vegetarian, someone could be a non-vegetarian, somebody could be allergic to some kind of food. Still, we need to ensure that that person has this X amount of carbs, X amount of protein, X amount of fats in the diet. That will depend on the person, whether male, female, that will depend on the weight, that will depend on their age, and that a few other things like, you know, somebody has any ailments or say kidney stone issues, etc., etc. So those kind of things also determine how much of protein to keep. So usually protein is definitely the most important macronutrient. So it's usually kept about 1.2 to 1.5 grams per kg of body weight, sometimes even higher when it comes to male athletes who are probably, you know, male clients who are becoming athletes or training very hard.
Yeah.
Then about 0.7 grams per body weight, you need fat. Usually it's from fat sources from the oil or the butter that you use for cooking, along with some nuts and stuff. And then remaining, we manage with carbs, which is again usually your rice, wheat, etc., etc. So that's how we kind of constitute. And then, as you said, how do you manage diets for the various people? No one diet can fit the other person. So no two diets are the same. As in, I cannot give one diet to X person and same diet to person Y. Every diet has to be tailor-made into suiting that person's need and how many calories that person requires, right? So if you, just to put it in an example way, our body is like a machine. It needs certain amount of calories in a day, okay? And if you're going to eat excess of those calories in the day, you're going to gain weight. You're going to eat a little less than that completely required calories, you're going to lose weight. It's a very simple mathematics. How many calories you need will depend on your height, weight, age, and other measurements of your body. But through that, we will simply come to know what is the total calorie required. Right? Based on that, we will apportion the macronutrients, which is protein, carbs, and fat. Now, protein, usually non-vegetarians have a good source of protein. It could be any meat, usually say chicken, fish, mutton, or red meat, etc., etc., eggs also. Then vegetarians have some other source of protein, mostly dairy, or people can have soy, tempeh, those kind of things vegetarians can have. Dal is also a source of protein, but it has to be clubbed along with some grains to get the complete source of protein, because they lack one amino acid dal, because they are usually secondary source of protein. Then for carbs, we will stick to usually rice, because rice is again one common grain that's consumed across the world. And of course, coming to wheat flour, or it could be refined wheat flour, which is maida, so when your pasta and all that is made, that's also completely fine to include in diet. And there are some people who require quinoa, oats, etc. That's again as per the region.
Yeah. Okay. So then Basically, what you mean to say that once you know the content of these different elements, it's easy to suggest the actual food items. Even if that customer, the client is at different locations or different parts. And now I think I'm really curious to know, I think, and that's something which is also kind of a purpose of this show, to understand how we actually become a creator by handling our existing job. Because if you consider this as a side hustle, your main hustle is your job, right? And then there's some kind of a juggling which we keep doing. So in your case, of course, when you started your journey, you must be at the peak of your career. And then the COVID happened, but that was also a turning point for you to actually start with your new venture as such. So how did you manage the two jobs together, and how do you still manage it? Do you still find it difficult, or now you've got the idea how to balance it out? How does that work now?
Yeah, in the initial parts, I was definitely overwhelmed in terms of handling both responsibilities, because where do you draw the line? You know, when do you take certain calls? Can I take a regular office call? Can I take my fitness call, etc., etc.? So that was definitely, you know, quite difficult to manage, because during COVID time, even during the second wave, you're working from home. There's still, you know, a lot of work also was there. Work pressure as such was never reduced. That was still there. And how do you also not do your side hustle? And side hustle is not, see, I'm looking at it as a second job and not just a side hustle, because you giving it enough attention and time as your regular job. Because you want to do it again. So it's not very simple, like, you know, doing some investments in a mutual fund or a stock market. This needs a little bit of more time. So hence, then what I realized over a period of time, say after about, say, 5-6 months, what I realized is I am doing calls with client, and I have the flexibility in choosing when I want to talk. So say if I have to talk to about 5 clients a day, so and the previous day I will message my clients and then, okay, tomorrow we need to catch up, you know, so we can catch up tomorrow between this time and that time. So I would probably give them some time in the morning, which is say between 7 and 9 a.m. And I would, or give them an option of catching up post 7 p.m. So that I'm able to focus on my regular job, say from 9 to 6, where I'll hardly have any other distractions of other things. If at all I do, maximum I'll have probably one call or so. Not much. So at maximum time that can go into that was 15, 20 minutes, post which I'm able to do my other work. And either I do a couple of calls pre-9 a.m., which is from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. That'll be usually my overseas clients who are based in US. For them, it's evening time. They're convenient doing that. And I'll have some Indian clients whose calls I'll take in the evening time, because they're also done with their office work and they're also at home at peace and they're also able to talk to me. So probably about 5 to 6 calls roughly I take in a day. And with this, I'm able to manage, you know, how to do that. There was a time where I used to take a little bit more calls or more clients. Then I realized that, you know, I cannot take so many clients and give quality results and time to my clients and give quality results and time to my company. So hence, I also toned down the number of clients I take a month. So sometimes I take even as less as 10 clients a month so that I'm able to give quality time to everything, even family, my fitter work and my regular job. Because if I chase just one, then other two might suffer. And it's better that I keep everything balanced. Hence, I'm able to, you know, give the best of it to all.
Okay. And when the money started coming in from the new venture, which you started, right? Did that change your approach in any way? Did that motivate you even further, or it didn't mean to you completely, because your main goal was to make an impact in people's health, or it was like, okay, I think extra money is definitely not a bad option, so yeah, why not? Let's go.
Good question. Actually, see, I didn't start becoming a fitter coach because I wanted more money. Okay. I just started helping people out of sheer passion.
Yeah.
And that eventually turned into me becoming a coach, and which also helps me earn money, right? My primary job is not to be a fitness coach. My primary job is I have a regular job as well.
Right, right.
So, yeah, of course, it did have additional income coming in, which was definitely welcome, right? And it has helped me improve my lifestyle to an extent, I would say. But at the same time, as I told you, I also can control the number of clients I take in a month. So when I realize that the money can come, that's right. If I take more clients, I can make more money. But what if I'm not able to give quality time to my clients? You know, what if my reputation goes for a toss? Just by chasing money, if I take, say, 35, 40 clients a month and not give them enough quality, and I'm in subsequent months, I'm not going to get more clients. So I was very clear that I will probably take, say, maximum of 20 clients in a month. I know that this amount is what I can handle. Sometimes a little less is even better, because this money is anyway is on top. No, right. My regular work is there, which is I'm earning fine. I'm leading a comfortable life. And this on top money is helping me make better investments, or pay off my home loan at a better rate, etc. So what is getting on top is being used for other purposes only. So my basic survival on my life for my family is handled in the first job. It is not that I need to do two jobs to make that survive.
Right. But in the coming future, do you see yourself moving towards this as your primary job? I mean, what are your future goals in terms of being in this industry or being in the fitness journey of yours? Do you make that as a primary job in your future?
See, fitness is not going to be out of fashion anyway.
Yeah, of course.
It will not be a primary job for sure. It can definitely be secondary, because you've been in corporate life for 15 plus years and you do have a set of skills and experience which you can devote to a certain company and be a part of it success and etc. So I don't think I will ever leave my corporate job as such so easily. I mean, but touch wood, but let's see how things go. But the fitness thing can definitely be a second job or the side hustle, as you call it. Let that continue. Because it's like a business, right? I get paid. My remuneration is completely dependent on number of clients I take. So the lesser number of clients I take, lesser amount of money I make. It's okay. So there are some seasonalities also we are witnessing, because sometimes if it's a festive period like Dashara, Diwali time, people don't enroll because they're more spending time with family, traveling, holidaying, etc. So there has been months, not every month you get a fixed straight income. There have been months you have done well.
Right.
There have been months where you have not done well. So that kind of gives you a sense of balance where you know that, you can't just leave off your regular job and jump onto this bandwagon and hope to make it big. Probably some people are already doing it. I'm not denying or taking away the fact that they are doing well. But at least for me, with the kind of responsibilities I have in terms of, say, I have a family, I have two kids, I have a home loan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not so easy that I can let go of my corporate job and say, I'll be into fitness only. As long as I'm able to manage both and give quality results in both, I think I'll be doing both simultaneously.
Yeah. And having that awareness is also equally important, that you're aware about the situation, about how much you can do and how much you can contribute, then the life becomes easier. Then actually the balance becomes easier. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there has been times where I've been on holidays. I've been, a week or two I'm away. That time I do not take any new clients, because imagine some client signing up with you in the app and not hearing from you for almost a few days, That is not good, that leaves a very bad impression of me with the client and also about the platform. Hence, that at those times I turn off my slots. In case somebody pings me also, I tell them that, I'm on holiday. I'll come back to you next week. Then we can catch up and then we can take it forward from there.
Right. And then, we heard your fitness journey, but then with all this, how did scuba diving happen? Was scuba always your passion, your interest?
Scuba happened way before fitness, actually, because scuba certification I did in the year 2006. When I was still pursuing my MBA.
Wow, that was long back.
Yeah, exactly. Why I did scuba was because I was literally scared of water. As a kid, I did learn swimming, but very basic. And eventually, when the coach wanted to take us to the deep waters, I just kind of gave up and I was too scared. And I kind of never really went back to the swimming pool. Then somehow my brother and me said, no, let's explore this scuba diving. It seems to be interesting. And we packed our bags and went off to Goa for a week in 2006 to learn diving. And trust me, we were in Goa for a week, sitting with books and study material, learning about diving and doing a lot of theory. And the course I said, which is actual diving. So that was basically just to overcome my fear of water. I was very scared of water, and I'm happy that I did take the step to overcome that fear, and I eventually took to diving. And diving, I must say, it's an expensive sport. It's not something that it's not like any other sport where if you can get along and just say, okay, let's do it. It is expensive when you have to travel to other countries to explore. So there was a time where I did not dive for a few years, because I didn't have enough money to dive then. I was not earning so much. So eventually, I started pursuing it actively. And I would say at least for the past 10, 11, 12 years, I've been diving consistently across the world, I would say.
Yeah. Did it help you in your fitness in terms of being better with your lungs, etc.? How did it contribute to your health?
Yeah, that I did notice. Pre-fitness and post-fitness diving is definitely much better. I could see the difference significantly on how, because when you're diving, you are limited with the air supply. You dive with a compressed air tank, and that's a limited supply of air that you have. So somebody can spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or even 1 hour under the water, depending on how efficient you are with your breathing.
Yeah.
And definitely, I would say, as I got fitter, and I could see that my time underwater was improving. Initially,
okay.
I would say, for example, dive about 45, 50 minutes. I could now dive well beyond 60 minutes and not panic about having less air left for me to do the dive.
Wow. Amazing.
That definitely had a plus. You are also underwater swimming against the current, or doing all that, and being fit and having good legs and all that also really kind of helps you to fight against the current and swim better.
Yeah.
So definitely, being fit physically helps you, because this is also a physical activity.
That's true. Awesome. I experienced diving. Of course, for a very brief period of time when I was in Maldives last year. And then, other than being inside the water and, diving itself, the visual experience is mesmerizing, right? That's kind of
absolutely
actually a big motivator.
Absolutely.
You are in a different world when you are underwater.
Exactly. That is the closest experience you have of being in space. Right. Even astronauts tend to train underwater, because you have three-dimensional movement, underwater. So that is the closest experience of you being in space, is what you get underwater. And of course, you said the sheer plethora of life, the colors, the different kind of corals, fish, etc. What you see is absolutely mind-blowing. That's something that the best of the forest cannot mimic. And it's so pristine. It's so pure. Because nothing is, tamed or domesticated.
It's all
so
pure.
Many a time you would have gone to a zoo to see a lion or tiger, but you'll still see it in a cage, and that you're not seeing it in
it's
the
not natural.
True form.
Yeah.
Exactly. Underwater, it's all natural. You'll not see stuff that's, domesticated or, trained or anything like that. So in that way, the world is completely different, and definitely it's a must have experience for anyone. And if you like it, definitely go pursue it. As I told you, it is a bit expensive. It's not as cheap as any other hobby. But if you can afford it, definitely one should experience it and pursue it as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's there on my bucket list to do a longer diving for sure. Hopefully somewhere in the near future. But as I think now we are coming towards the end of this episode, and there are many topics which are still unexplored with you, Chandra, and probably we'll have to do a couple of more episodes to, you know more about your entire fitness regime, your scuba diving experiences, and maybe to learn more about the diet itself. But due to the limitation of time today, probably we'll have to stop now, but then of course we'll be in touch. And I want to thank you for sharing your life journey with us, and I hope that you continue and grow your clients with a higher rate, and you keep creating impact in people's health, and which is a very divine effort in itself. So thank you so much from my side.
Thanks a lot, Pushpak, for having me over on your podcast interview, and it's been a pleasure to share my experience and my thoughts with you and your audience, and really looking forward probably when if an opportunity provides to be back on the mic with you.
Thanks. Thank you so much.